This is a kind of a special week for me. This week marks 2 years of me being a pastor here at the Bridge. It's kind of crazy. Yeah, it's flown by, hasn't it? well, this has been my church for 20 years. When I first came here, Jacob was not born yet, and I was actually about 5 months pregnant with him. So this has been my church family for 20 years. But the fact that God has brought me to this place where I'm the pastor is not something I ever thought I would do. And I am humbled every week and blessed every week to be here with you guys. It's just a huge blessing in my life. I've raised my kids in this church. I've seen God move. We've seen miracles happen. We've reached out to the community and been able to be a light to Jesus in our community. And we get to do it all together. It's one of the best things about being part of a church is that we get to do it together. It's the connection, the encouragement, the correction, the accountability, and fun that we have when we come together and live life together as great friends and family in the body of Christ. You know, friendship is one of the greatest blessings that God has given us. We were made for a relationship with God, and He gives us the pleasure of being able to walk out this life side by side with other people. And it can be a great blessing in our lives, and it helps us out in the plans that God has for us. And today I want to talk about what it is to be a great friend. And so I want to take a look at a man in the Bible that isn't usually the primary person that you talk about when you mention him. In the story of his life, he was a son of a king, and he was the best friend of another king. And I want to talk to you today about the life of Jonathan. So if you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Now we're going to kind of jump around Samuel in 1 Samuel a little bit, going over just some points that Jonathan shows up in the story of King David. And David and Jonathan met after David killed Goliath and Saul brought him into his house. And 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 through 4 says, "After David finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing, and he gave it to David, along with his tunic, and even his sword, his bow, and his belt." So this connection, this friendship, was immediate. Have you ever had that happen before? You met someone, and you just instantly felt like, I'm connected to that person. I want to be that person's friend. I've had friends like that in my life, and it's a friendship that comes so easily. And you can sense that here in this passage that there is a respect and a care for each other that they had. And their friendship was going to take them on an important journey, which would be so important for the future of Israel. Almost immediately after their friendship began, David began having problems. Now, he had killed Goliath, the giant, and the people were so happy that they had been delivered from the Philistines, that they would sing David's praises. Well, King Saul, who was Jonathan's father, was instantly jealous. And after all, he was king, and he should get the praises of his people, but David was the one who they were singing about. He was the one getting the attention of the people, and it stirred up anger in King Saul. So Saul and David went through this whole rest of the story. You see this back and forth of, I love you, I hate you, I love you, I hate you kind of thing. Saul would say, David, come play music for me. And then when he came to play music, he would throw spears at him and try and kill him. And there were so many attempts on David's life over the years by Saul. And you stop and you think about where Jonathan was during this time. Now, Jonathan being the king's son would have been the prince. And his dad hated his best friend. Yet you never hear Jonathan being swayed away from the covenant and the friendship that he had made with David. Even when he found out that David was going to be the next king, taking his father's kingdom from their family, not one negative word do they say that came from Jonathan toward David. In fact, every interaction that you hear between David and Jonathan was one of devotion and care and protection. And Jonathan lived out what I have called here a tag friendship. So what is a tag friendship? Well, I noticed some things about the friendship between Jonathan and David. And the first thing that I noticed is that Jonathan trusted God's plan for his life. So the T is he trusted God's plan for his life. Now, trusting in God's plan for your life means being okay with the fact that your plan and God's plan probably might not look the same. Okay, the plans that God has and the plans that you have aren't necessarily going to look the same. And trusting God means that you are okay with that. Some of the most well-known verses in the Bible are about the importance of trusting God. They are commands to trust in Him, even if it doesn't make sense, and reassurances that He's going to be with you as you trust in Him. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your path straight. Lean not on your understanding. Lean not on your plan, but submit to Him and He's going to make that path for you. Trusting in the Lord's plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." He says, "I know the plans that I have for you, and they're good plans, plans for hope." He wants to give us hope and a future, plans to prosper you in the plan that He has for you. Not just the plan that you have for yourself, but plans that will bring you closer to Him and help you fulfill the purpose that He has for you. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Know that God has a purpose for your life. He says it time and time again. Know that He is working for your good. Do you know that God is working for your good? He doesn't say that when you come to know Him that everything's going to get easy, right? He says that He will never leave you, and when things get rough, He will be working for your good. He's working for your good. And we can trust Him because He has proven Himself faithful. Now, we don't know exactly how old Jonathan was when Saul became king, but he lived as a prince, and he had a taste of royal living. And he had to be anticipating that he would be king someday. I mean, his dad became the king. It just makes sense, right? So what we do know is that he knew who he was, and he desired God's perfect plan, and he believed that God could do anything through our obedience. He was an Israelite, he was a man of God, and he was a soldier. And in 1 Samuel 14, the Israelites were in battle, and while all the army was gathering together and figuring out what they were going to do, we find Jonathan venturing out on his own with his armor bearer to go check out what was going on with the enemy. And he said this in 1 Samuel 14, verses 6 through 10. It says, "Jonathan said to his armor bearer, 'Come, let us go over to the outpost of the uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf.' Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Do all that you have in mind, his armor bearer said. Go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul. And Jonathan said, Come on then, we will cross over toward them and let them see us. And if they say to us, wait there until we come to you, we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands. So we see Jonathan over on this hill, and he's basically saying, Lord, what do you want me to do here? I'm going to put this out there. I believe that you can do anything. If you want me to go up there and attack them by myself with just my armor bearer, we'll go do that. But if you don't, I'm going to stop, and I'm not going to go up there because I want to pay attention to what you say. He was so willing to go out on his own for the Lord, but he was humble, and he listened for the Lord's guidance. When God had given him a green light, he knew that he could be confident in this direction. Now, what does all this story have to do with being a friend? Okay? Knowing who you are in Christ, the plan that he has for you, trusting God and embracing the plan that he has for you and being secure in it allows you to fully stand with your friend in the second part, which is accepting God's plan for his friend. The plan for these two men's lives kind of overlap in different ways, because Jonathan should have been the next king. But David was going to be taking that spot. And what are some of the biggest barriers for us to accept the path that God has for our friends are because we want that spot. And so we have pride, and we have jealousy, and we have comparison. Allowing any of these into our hearts puts us at odds with our friends, with the people that we're walking this life with. We meet someone, maybe it's a colleague or a peer, and as we're going along this path with them, maybe they get a promotion that we were up for, or they get a new house, new fancy house, or a new fancy car, and there's that little pang of jealousy. And we compare our lives to theirs, and we want what they have. You know, these days right now on social media, it's been said for years, I'm sure you've heard it before, it's kind of crazy. That happens all the time because you're getting a glimpse of the good thing that somebody else wants you to see. And you see their vacation, or you see something about them, and comparison will make you unhappy with the path that God has for you. It puts our eyes on what we want and what we have. And all the while, it makes it harder and harder and puts us further and further away from the people that God has called us to walk with. Because when my eyes are on myself, it's really hard for me to cheer someone else on, because I'm looking at my life as a place of lack. And so I'm insecure. So think about Jonathan. If Jonathan had allowed any of these three things to sway his heart, their friendship would have been very different. Because David's calling, the plan that God had for David, drastically changed Jonathan's position. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16 through 18, it says, and Saul's son, Jonathan, went to David at Horesh and helped him to find strength in the Lord. Don't be afraid, he said. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you, and you will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. And even my father Saul knows this. And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh. So trying to be a great friend, how do you do that When they get the job you want? How about when you someone you know gets that new house or that new thing that you wanted? Can you look at their success as the plan that God has for them? Or do you look at it as your lack? When Jonathan realized that David would be king, he didn't look at how it affected him. He trusted God with the plans that he had for him, and he accepted the plan that he had for his friend. And it wasn't clouded by pride, and he said, "I will be second to you." He put him before him. And he was a great encouragement to David. And that would be the G on our tag, friendship, is a great encourager. David was called to be king, and Jonathan was a crucial part of that calling because of his encouragement to his friend. But the call to be king was a huge deal. And this passage that we just read in 1 Samuel 23 said that Jonathan helped David find strength in God. He stood by his friend and he encouraged him. You know, we all want a friend like that. We all want a friend like that. One that knows and runs towards God's plans for their lives, that accepts and embraces and gets excited about the plans that God has for us, and someone who will be the biggest encourager to help keep us on track for the plans that God had for us. You know, David had been chased after. He'd been running from Saul. He'd had all these different things happen, and Jonathan came to him at just the right time to say, "No, you're going to be king. Remember? Remember what God says about your life. Remember the plan that he gave you for your life. That's who you are." How tiring would it have been for David? Like, he cared about Saul. He cared about Saul's family. How tiring would it have been? And for that friend to show up at just the right time and say, "You know what?" And he came for that purpose. He wasn't in like, you know, it says he came to him and then he went back. He came to him and said, "You know what? Remember God's plan. Remember what he says." When Jonathan realized, oh, I already said that. Sorry. We all want a friend like that. How many times in your life have you had a friend that encouraged you right when you needed it? And what does that mean to you to have that friend that just shows up at the right time? 1 Samuel 20, verse 16 and 17 says, "So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, 'May the Lord call David's enemies to account.' And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself." He loved him as he loved himself. So when he saw a need, he wanted to meet that for his friend. When his friend needed saving from his enemies, he wanted to come help save him. And when he needed encouragement, it says he went to David to encourage him with no thought of what that meant to him personally. And you know, Jesus told us in Mark 12, beginning with verse 28, says, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, 'Of all the commandments, which is the most important?' And he said, 'The most important one,' answered Jesus, 'is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these.'" How are your friendships? I was reading this account of Jonathan, and my first thought is, "Lord, I want a friend like that." And the Lord began talking to me, and he said, "You want a friend like that? Then go be a friend like that. Go be a friend like that. Trust what I'm doing in your walk with me. Accept the plans that I have for others. Be a great encourager and cheer people on. Lift them up when they're down. Remind them of the plan that God has for them. Don't let pride or comparison or jealousy be entertained in your mind or in your heart. I have some amazing friends, and there have been times in my life when I've struggled with jealousy about the things that they can do. You ever get caught up in that? You're like, oh, they're so cool. They can do that. And I think that somehow I need to be able to do the things that they're doing. But that's not how God made me. God made me to do the things that he made me to do. My unique abilities, your unique abilities. If we all had the same abilities, there would be so much lacking in this world because we wouldn't be able to do a lot of things. Know that God has a plan for you, and it includes the abilities that he's given you. And honestly, I think sometimes we downplay our own abilities because we're like, yeah, but that's easy. No, not for everyone. What it is a blessing for the people that you're to interact with. Jonathan couldn't have been an encourager to David if he was jealous of him. And God has things for me to do and for you to do that only we are capable of doing. So be the friend that God is asking you to be, and look for the friend that God is giving you. Now, I can't talk about the importance of being a good friend and having good friends without talking about the importance of the company that we keep. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I was reminded of this verse this week and this analogy that came with it. If you take an axe and you take a block of wood and you hit them together, eventually the axe will become dull and the wood will become damaged. Great friendship opens the door for influence, and I believe that God would want us to take a look at our lives and see what influences we are allowing in. As you have a desire to walk with God and do things like him, you will want to look around and say, well, who's doing that too? Who's wanting to go that direction? Because your closest connection to people will either draw you toward God or it will draw you away from God. They say that you become like the five people that you spend the most time with. Think about the five people in your life that you spend the most time with. You become like them. Is that okay with you? You gotta think about it. Like, am I okay with being the five people that I hang out with? Being like the five people that I hang out with. There are all kinds of variations of that quote, but basically, if you want to go somewhere, spend more time hanging out with people that are going there too. Now, that does not by any means, and please don't misunderstand, I am not saying that you cannot have friendships that are with non-believers. I think that God wants us to be in relationship with people who are not believers because our influence can rub off on them, but it's and God can shine through us to speak to them. It doesn't mean stay away from people who are not believers. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is who are the five people that you spend the most time with? You're going to have a much easier time moving toward the Lord if you just purpose to spend time with people, not just spend time, but to spend time with people who are also wanting to go toward him. So if you want to get fit, you want to go to the gym. And so, well, maybe you want to go to the gym. A lot of people don't want to go to the gym. But you go with somebody, you get accountability partner, you know, and you say, hey, let's go to the gym. I started doing that this week with my son, and both of us, we get up early before he goes to work in the morning, and both of us said at one time, I'm sure glad you got up because I wouldn't have got up. But it helps. If you want to be a successful leader or a good parent, find people that are headed in that direction or are already there and hang out with them. You want to know God more? Find people that are walking with him. It's so much more fun to do life together, and you will go farther than you ever could have on your own. So today, first, I want us to take a look at ourselves and ask these questions. These are your questions. Do I trust God with the plan that he has for my life? Even if it means that it doesn't look the way that I think it should. Have I let jealousy or pride or comparison or competition get in the way of me being a great friend? Am I available and willing to encourage my friend in great ways? And finally, am I being sharpened by the friendships that I have, or am I being damaged by them? Have I settled for being dull and useless in the plans that God has for me because I've surrounded myself with people that are influencing me away from him? You know, Jonathan had to really put himself in check to walk out this covenant friendship. And you know, you never hear about the struggle that he may have been having in his mind. You know, when he first heard that David was going to be king, you know, what was his thought? We don't know. But what we do know is what he chose to align himself with. You can have a thought come in and not align yourself with that thought. You can have a thought come in of jealousy or something, and that's why they say, take your thoughts captive. You grab a hold of that thought. No, that's not who I'm going to be to my friend. And you cast it out, and you choose to align yourself with the truth of what God's doing. In Jonathan's obedience to the call that God had for him, he was a blessing to the call that God had on David's life as well. You know, you have an opportunity to be a blessing to the call that God has on the person sitting next to you. You can be a blessing to the call that God has for them. We get to be that for each other. I'm excited about what God's going to do, even this week as we go to the concert in the park. We get to go and be around the community. We had a great time last week doing that. If you have time, come hang out with me. It's going to be hot. I'm just saying, it's going to be hot. But it's going to be fun. And, you know, get to laugh and listen to some music and you know, come hang out with us. But let's just purpose in our heart to be great friends to each other and to the people outside of our church. Because that shows where our importance is with the words of Jesus when he said, love others as you love yourself. Can we do that? Would you stand with me? Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your truths that are hidden there, Lord God, and not so hidden there, that are just there for us to see. Lord, I thank you for this example of what it is to be a true friend, a great friend, Lord God. Lord, I pray that we would be people who would trust you with our own path that you've given us, that we would be an encouragement to the people that you've put us with, Lord God, that we would trust your plan in their lives as well. And Lord, I pray that we would be a blessing to you and to the people around us, Lord God, with how well we love and how well we care for each other. Lord, I pray that there would always be an encouraging word on our lips, that as we see someone who is struggling, we would speak Jesus over them, that we would speak about you, that we would pray with them. And Lord, I pray that our lives would be lined up with what you have for us, Lord. Not our will, but yours be done, Lord God. I just pray a blessing over this week, Lord. I pray for protection from the hot heat for each one that's here. Lord, I pray for divine appointments, connections with the people around us, Lord God, and that people would know you better because we are reflecting you in this community. Thank you for that. We praise you for that, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.